She began mentally ticking off the day's schedule. Todd, 9, and Amy, 6, would have been a handful even if she wasn't a working parent. Let's see, fix breakfast, pack 2 lunches, and finish sewing Amy's costume for the school play. That will be a trick, finishing sewing the costume before the carpool picks her up at 7:45 a.m. Sherry thought regretfully about last night. She planned to work on Amy's costume then, using her talents to make a special day for her little girl. But her mother had dropped over unexpectedly. Good manners dictated that she play hostess, and another evening was shot. The memories of her attempts to salvage the time weren't pretty. Trying to be diplomatic, Sherry artfully told her mother, "You can't imagine how much I enjoy your surprise visits, Mom. But I was wondering, would you mind if I work on Amy's costume while we talk?" Sherry cringed inwardly, correctly anticipating her mother's response. "Sherry, you know I'd be the last to intrude on your time with your family." Sherry's mother, widowed for 12 years, had elevated her widowhood to the status of martyrdom. "I mean, since your father died, it's been such an empty time. I still miss our family. How could I deprive you of that for yourself?" "I'll bet I'll find out how," Sherry thought to herself. "That's why I can understand why you don't bring Walt and the children to see me much anymore. How could I be entertaining? I'm just a lonely old lady who gave her entire life to her children. Who would want to spend any time with me?" "No, Mom, no, no, no," Sherry quickly joined the emotional minuet she and her mom had been dancing for decades. "That's not what I meant at all. I mean, it's so special having you over. Goodness knows, with our schedule, we'd like to visit more, but we just haven't been able to. That's why I'm so glad you took the initiative." "Lord, don't strike me dead for this little lie," she prayed silently. "In fact, I can do the costume any old time," Sherry said. "Forgive me for this lie, too. Now, why don't I make us some coffee?" Her mother sighed. "All right, if you insist. But I just hate to think I'm intruding." The visit lasted well into the night. By the time her mother left, Sherry felt absolutely crazy. But she justified it to herself. "At least I've helped make her lonely day a little brighter." Then a pesky voice piped up. If you helped so much, why was she still talking about her loneliness when she left? Trying to ignore the thought, Sherry went to bed. 6:45 a.m. Sherry returned to the present. "No use crying over spilt time, I guess," she mumbled to herself as she struggled to close the zipper of her black linen skirt. Her favorite suit had become, as many others had, too tight. "Middle age spread so soon," she thought. "This week, I really have to go on a diet and start exercising." The next hour was, as usual, a disaster. The kids whined about getting out of bed, and Walt complained, "Why is it so hard to get the kids to the table on time?" 7:45 a.m. Miraculously, the kids made it to their rides. Walt left for work, and Sherry went out and locked the front door after her. Taking a deep breath, she prayed silently, "Lord, I'm not looking forward to this day. Give me something to hope for." In her car, she finished applying her makeup at traffic stops. Thank the Lord for long red lights. 8:45 a.m. Rushing into McAllister Enterprises, where she worked as a human resources director, Sherry glanced at her watch. Only a few minutes late. Maybe by now her colleagues understood that being late was a way of life for her and did not expect her to be on time. She was wrong. They'd started the weekly executive meeting without her. Sherry tried to tiptoe in without being noticed, but every eye was on her as she struggled into her seat. Glancing around, she gave a fleeting smile and muttered something about that crazy traffic. 11:59 a.m. The rest of Sherry's morning proceeded fairly well. A gifted advocate and problem solver, Sherry was loved by the staff she served and a valuable asset to McAllister. The only hitch came just before lunch. Her desk phone rang. "Sherry Phillips." "Sherry, thank goodness you're there. I don't know what I'd have done if you'd been at lunch." There was no mistaking this voice. Sherry had known Lois Thompson since grade school. Lois was thin-skinned, perpetually anxious, and seemingly always in a crisis. Sherry tried to make herself